The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 203. Oh my god, 203. Oh, one more time. Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and I'm very lucky to be here today. Today's show is going to be talking about stats and analysis. Stats and analysis. That is going to be the point of the day. Will Dockerall, thanks for in the chat. Well, you know, I had a Chinese last night and it was very tasty. If anyone's interested, I had Szechuan tofu and egg fried rice. And that was all thanks to Will. I don't know, it's a money show. So thank you. So hello, everyone in the Twitch chat. So I see that Marcus Rock's here. Jogpick. Amazondal? How do I say that? Ampersand L. Ampersand L. There we go. I just take the time to read it. Nat Protein, hey, what up? W. Soren, thanks for tuning in from Texas. Cinderfall Gaming, Freaks and Deeks. Oh, hello. Gitly says, Rob Symes, character flaws, wrong about Rogue One. So, we were just discussing yesterday, still, I think people reeling from the player card and Nick Nanavati, having a great time with that. Everyone now wanting their own player card. We were talking about potentially Scrivo designing some Honest Wargamer presenter cards. And we were talking about the stats that we might need to go onto those stats. There's been some suggestions already. Obviously, catchphrases has to be one. Timekeeping ability, beard game. That's always really, really important as well. Probably we should put things like hobby scores on there as well. Just saying. Just say it. Jam level, that's also a good one. The meat watch, that's right. even to January, what a great name. So, yeah, thank you to everyone for being here. Thank you to everyone on the Wargaming Patreon. And, of course, thank you to everyone who listens live. Please do stay hydrated. Drink all of your water as much as you can. That will help get you through the day. Hey, Akari. So today's show is going to be discussing, well, the first half. I'm not sure if I can make this into an hour, so we'll talk about it for a bit today. Also, if you are locked down, I hope you're well. Don't forget to always reach out to someone if you need to reach out to someone, and just generally enjoy your day. Right, okay. Easier said than done, I know, in some situations. So one of the things that came up yesterday on Reddit, of all places, on Reddit, was a really, really interesting article about stats. Stats, stats, stats. And how stats... before that, though, I'm going to read how... Do you know what? Before I talk about that, I want to talk. See how you guys are in the chat. I don't think we've had, like, a one-on-one for a while. And I want to... Or a one-on 50. So I want to just see if you're all well. Vengeance from Sylvania said, I absolutely loved the meta article in the community yesterday. It was like a well-intentioned but clueless dad trying to talk about pop music to his surly teenage son. Agreed. And really, that son actually only likes Death That Cab for the QE. That's it. For a QE? For a QE or for the QE? A QE? .com! Yes! How you doing, bud? I hope you're well, man. I hope you're really well. Hello to K-Dread as well. What else? Naprotein. I'm playing Vanguard list in a one-day tournament. Wish me luck. Vanguard, but Naprotein. Good luck. Good luck. And then I'm not well until my man reads my book. Reaper is talking about. Discussing, obviously, the fact that there are three books going to go on. Wait, has man not read book last week? For Gargants. Oh no, Gargants on pre-order this weekend. Which means tonight we find out all of the information. We find out all the information on when Man Reads book tonight. So a very exciting Saturday for all us Gargant fans. I include myself as a Gargant fan. Oh, Owen Jackson is celebrating his lovely partner's birthday, Anna, with a bacon and cake after the show. That's nice. Happy birthday to Anna. Woohoo, if she can hear. Hey to Hawkeye. Hope you're well. My hobby is stalled, so I want a new AOS army, says Face and Basis. The honest breakdown of Behemoth has really helped me reconsider a fear of missing out purchase. Well, if you wanted a low model count army that's excellent in-game, I couldn't suggest Flesh Eater Courts or a load of Stonehorns more. Low model count, they perform well in the game, they're fun. I would arguably go for the Flesh Eater Courts one over the Stonehorn sort of start collecting box low model count build. My reasoning for that is you get to lean into a lot of the spells. So the endless spells are pretty common. Normally you see the Chalice Taken, Chalice of Usharan or whatever the fuck it's called. So you generally will like have a couple of casters, so you're performing quite a few of the phases, and you can even build like a shooting version of the list by taking flayers. So it's the more well-rounded of the small model count army, which you can build into a large model count army if you want to. That's my my argument. The Archeon Varangard build is a little bit different and a little bit more minutia to get right. So, and requires like some like select characters and stuff. What else is being said? I'm not well. Okay, good, good, good. Oh, I hope you're well, obviously. Yes, Meatball says, Reddit, best comment. I only recently got to 40k so far. The biggest thing I've learned consuming competitive 40k material is that the bar, while the detailed explanation from top players on podcast videos, I should treat most competitive opinions as inspiration rather than fact. Bang on, bud. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm going to talk about myself today, especially some of the stuff that occurred this week with my analysis of some of the Sons of Behemoth stuff, because it goes to part of that conversation, right? Anyway, I'll bring my own attractive list with Star Drakes and Croak. You could do that. I mean, that's not the funnest. My local Warhammer shop closed on Sunday for good. Gutted. Ah, oh, Ampersandel. I'm so sorry, bud. That sucks. That sucks. Do you have a local gaming store that's available for you to go and check stuff out? That would be cool. It was a big shock to me yesterday that I could buy a Kumquat for under 40 quid. Wow, centerpieces of... Wait, can you? You're talking about... Oh, wait, okay. Yeah, centerpiece prices have moved on a lot. Yes, they really have. They really, really have. Hey, Ziggy, doing well. Reached the green stuff stage of the Bellicor rebuild. Ziggy in the chat is green stuff and me, a Bellicor model, which I am very excited about. Very excited about painting up. So I'm looking forward to that. Hayley Bromley, three more crushers, pigs for battle line, done. That's a good army. And Ampersand Cell says, yeah, and Superly didn't pre-order the Necron book and they got no stock for Saturday. Oh, man. That is harsh. And then that also means that they're like, you can't get it digitally. It just doesn't... Anyway, doesn't matter. Whilst gathering paints together to do my Khorne army, I've used a lot of local gaming stores online ordering. I want to shout out Firestone Games. Amazing service and range. So, I mean, okay, and I've also... I'll shout them out as well. It's possibly the best gaming experience I've had is at Firestone Games. Always a good time there. Shop's well run. Seems really positive. Great opportunity for Wales. It's a good place. It's in Cardiff, right? Fun fact, the new Marines book is so heavy I can't carry three copies with one hand. That's just, you should go to the gym more, Scrimmer. I'm about half an hour from Glasgow or Stirling, but this was 300 metres away from my house. Oh, okay. I mean, Stirling's a nice place to go. Plus, the Stirling guys, there's the big gaming group out in Stirling, right? There's loads of guys over there, like, in a big club. John and all those guys. Stirling seems like a really, really sweet place to play Warhammer and live. Plus, it's Stirling. Fucking Stirling! Okay, so, if anyone wants to drop anything on with how we're all doing, I'll get on with the subject of the show. I kind of love you guys. Love you guys. Like, it's just fun hanging out with you guys every day, shooting the shit, and discussing things. And you're all probably smarter than I am. Not Scrivo, obviously, but everyone else. Question, is Tom in the first photo in the meta article yesterday in a lovely salmon shirt? It is Tom. In fact, Exy.com, if you look at that picture, you can spot almost all of the Honest Wargamer crew in that picture, including a little appearance from me. Okay, right, so this article that got posted yesterday on Reddit, let me quote the user, Dark Blades Cullbiter. Wait, or Dark Blade Skullbiter. That makes more sense. Yeah, Dark Blade Skullbiter. you wouldn't think you would get a particularly solid post from Darkblade Skullbiter. But effectively, the point that he's trying to talk about is stats, right? Stats versus analysis. Because stats are factual and analysis is opinion drawn from stats. Yeah? If the stats were rock solid, for instance, so what stats are we talking about? So good examples of stats would be stats done by me and LLV when we did the Honest Wargamer Age of Sigmar stats, or the stats produced by Pete and Val over at 40k Stat Center. Those are two sources of game-defining stats. Here is the game state for Age of Sigmar. Here is the game state for 40k. Two sets of stats, right? And what they would do, or what we would do, par example, is when we would do those shows, we would talk about, and you can go back and watch those shows if you would like to, we would discuss, and if you listen to those shows, you must be fucking sick of hearing me saying it, that what happens with those stats is that they give you data, and then it's someone's job to provide context for that data. However, the context provided by those people can be wrong, obviously. That makes loads of sense. Like, and I don't think it really needed explaining, potentially, but maybe this is new for 40k. Maybe they talk in absolutes like Siths, and we as a community, like, we're not that bothered. Like, we generally tend to, like, back and forth as a group, either you guys as viewers or you guys as listeners, and I think us on the show. So I think that we've been okay on this. Now, I do often present my, like, this is one of the other things that's come up this week. Earlier in the week, having seen small amount of information about the Gargants, I made a tweet talking about the fact that the Gargants looked rubbish. Right? Now, this garnered a lot of indirect tweets directed at me, which, by the way, gave me a fucking boner. I love indirect tweets. There's nothing better than someone has to tweet about you, but they don't have the fucking brass balls to tweet at you. Like, fucking grow a pair. Anyway. But that was an opinion, obviously, not a statement of fact. Then, with more information that comes out, you end up with more context, and your opinion changes maybe. Like, if you're a good person, you would change based on more information inputted in. That's how you analyze stuff. Some people don't change their opinion ever, but that's a different conversation about different sorts of people. However, traditionally, you would change your opinion, and then you would reanalyze, and you would keep analyzing. And that's really all you can do as an analyst, which is pretty much where I position myself as a person. Like, when we do tournament coverage, we do analysis of the games as they're happening, but I'm more than often, not more than often, I'm sometimes wrong, sometimes I'm right, let's just say that, when I'm analyzing the game as it's happening live. You know, we go into an event, and I'm analyzing this match might be against this match. And I've talked about this time and time again, like when I've been like, oh, we'll put those two armies against each other, that'll be fun, and it's not. Or we'll put those two armies against that game will be rubbish, and it turns into a hilarious game that we hear about only through our infield reporter, like with Owen or Chuckle Buddy or any of those guys. So that analysis is hard. And I guess really the conversation that we're going to have today is, why is that analysis so hard? Which is what this piece talks about. And I could give you my version and my experiences of why I found that analysis so hard to do in certain situations, and where we're at now with doing that, because it's a really interesting conversation, and it's the thing that kind of gets me, because I like individual games of Warhammer, and I always will, but I also enjoy the meta-analysis and the overarching, not the meta-analysis like some dumb article like to sell models. I'm talking about like the grand kind of like analysis. Isn't this an indirect rant? No, I don't think it's an indirect rant. That's a big read. Can anyone summarize it in one sentence? Says Stuff Loom. Yes, the summary is facts and opinions can be based on facts, but themselves are not facts. That's the TLDR, yeah? Opinions can sometimes be supported by facts, and sometimes there can be opinions which are not supported by facts, but that does mean that those opinions are not correct. Okay? I know, that's a lot to take in. Honest Wargame, it did need explaining, because for every person who plays competitive and is calm and cool, there's 10 semi-competitive, I want to smash my friends every time, people who read the win rates and go, X is broken. Yes. Yes. And actually, do you know what? Yes, Meatballs and Stufflin, you've perfectly encapsulated the conversation about wargaming in the chat. Stufflin's like, that's a big read. Can someone give me a one sentence? And guided with a codex. That's a lot to read. Can you tell me the list that's good? Because I don't want to do any more. And actually, I've got quite a bit to say about this. That conversation really quickly. One of the important bits that happens when you wargame is it's your hobby. Almost always. There's very few people like me who do it for a living. But when you hobby, and here's me like absolutely understanding you. You work bollocks hard in your job. Doesn't matter what your job is. Or you don't work bollocks hard in your job. You've got your family to care for. You've got people to care for. Or you just got your fucking self to care for. And you're not just like being a fucking slave like to production. Whatever the case is, yeah, you might not have a lot of time. And therefore, the concept of sitting down and doing your homework so as you can learn a book is like, fuck, I just want to have fun. I want to play with loads of giants. I don't want to understand like how to play with them. I just want someone to fucking tell me. I get it. Like, I absolutely fucking get it. I get it. Like, and I'm on board with you. That's why a lot of what I talk about on the show, I hope, is directed towards those sorts of people who are like, give me the strap line. The problem is the strap lines are problematic. For instance, the Gargant's Rule's rubbish, a strap line by me, yeah, an opinion piece, isn't factual, yeah? It's not 100% factual. And also, it's uncontextual. Because, is that a word? Incontextual? I haven't put what I've said in context. What do I mean when I said the rules are rubbish? The rules are rubbish in comparison when you're playing in a tournament-based environment, which is almost always how I discuss something. However, in when I made that sentence, yeah, you could play your friend's Nighthaunts, play your friend's Beast of Chaos, and have a good time. You could play some really substandard Sylvaneth. You could do those. You could play against those. You could have, like, you could, a bit like with Blood Bowl, how the armies are organized into tiers. You could just be like, you guys would have a really great time at that tier. However, contextually, a tournament, the rules aren't good. The rules aren't strong. The rules won't help you win games. And I don't mean win games to just be the big dick in the room. I mean win games because you're at a tournament and it's the purpose of winning. Just fucking tell me, Rob. I don't want to think for myself. Says Jog Pick. Stufflin, glad I could be pointing out as an example. I have won probably at least 75% of games I've played with my privateers. Are they OP as an example of stats being a lie? Yes. Now, I want to qualify some of this before I go any further. It's more likely I just play a lot of newer players and narrative games or fun with friends, which is fun. Stats are objective, opinions are subjective. Both can be highly entertaining, but both sound should be taken in context with heavy amounts of skepticism. It's true. It reminds me of probably the best thing I ever learned in school was from my history teacher, and it's something that always rolls around in my head every day, is that consider the source. He just said that. He's like, when you're reading a book, like when you're reading Alexander the Great, and he describes all of the Germanic tribes as savages, you know, consider the source. He wanted to make them appear to be savages to the populace in Rome so that he brought culture to them. You know, they weren't a people who he was like committing genocide upon. You know, he was culturing the savages and keeping you safe from these evil savages. So the source is, in fact, lying to further an aim. In that situation, like, you always have to consider what the source for people like myself and other analysts is. Like, with someone like Pete from the 40K Stat Center, Pete only objectively wants to analyze the data and discuss it. That's it. Like, I don't think when, and that's why, like, I got such a mad amount of love for him. When I listen to someone like Pete talk or LLV talk, both of them just want the information. They're like, they're not scared of how they feel. They just want to know the information so the information can tell them how to feel. Which, like, I really respect that. I think there's a certain type of human being that's like analyst focused, and they just want data because it drives them and it drives themselves. In some situations, then you have to read between the line, which is what, when I would do the stats with LLV, that would be my job. My job would be like, okay, this new book has come out today, but they haven't won a tournament for a month. I'd be like, well, don't forget LLV. There's the production meta. You're going to have to build and paint these armies. There's some context there. There's a lot of there's a lot of context to understand that. The competitive build of this list might be a Horde, so you'll rarely see it on the tabletop. A good example would be Daughters of Cain. Daughters of Cain had an outrageous win rate for more than a year, but you almost never saw them popularized on the top tables. Like they, I think the max they ever hit was like 4 or 5% of the meta, which is pretty representative. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. However, Flesh Eater Courts at release were smashing it, and their meta was massive. Yeah, and they were also winning about the same amount. So you've got to ask yourself why. And the context there is, it's just much easier to produce the Flesh Eater Courts army and put it on the tabletop. It's cheaper, and you're more likely to do it. So there needs to be context and analysis for the data on how it works. And that's an easy one to put a pin in, I think. However, it gets far more complicated as you go down the line. Also, 69 viewers. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. I'm collecting some Behemoth so I can have an army that gets done in 90 minutes, and I think they'll do that. That's a good one. Oh, wait, did I say Alexander? Oh, sorry, Grinaldi. I didn't mean Alexander, of course. I meant Caesar. I'm sorry. I was just on a solo man conversation. When I said Rome, I obviously meant Caesar, not Alexander. Obviously, I said, I didn't know I said the wrong name. Apologies. I'm just slow my roll. Slow my roll right now. I should have some bullet points for my points as we go through. Hawkeye says, one of Karl Marx's favorite sayings was, omnibus dubidatum, I can't say that right, doubt everything. That's a good one. TTS says, stays big, I'd love to see separate analysis for it, since money and building painting is no object, says Yes Meatballs. It's also a really good point. You know, it was one of why we did the show earlier in the stream street, where we discussed some TTS lists that we saw, which were obviously bonkers. Big shout out to Adam Mumford for putting some dumb lists on the tabletop, you know, like 13 cockatrices, which I think he's physically bought now, or his friend physically bought for him, which I think was super sweet. You ended up with a really dumb list that is actually kind of viable. It's kind of fun. So yeah, good point, Yes Meatballs. I really enjoy watching analysis of games as entertainment like you do with the TSN stuff. However, only a fraction of all players go to events. Of that fraction, only a further fraction have ambitions of winning the event. For that fraction of a fraction, I imagine up-to-date stats are pretty useful. For the rest of us, they can be entertaining, but I'll take shit-talking over hard data every day, says Dudo Showgate. I think that is the interesting conversation to have about the coverage, for instance, that we do for TSN, but coverage that I've developed over time. In the when you're relating this information, this would be true for the stats as well when we did the stats show, when you're relating this information, the people who you aren't talking to is the 1% of the 1%. Yeah, you're not talking to the people who are going to post results of GTs every day. Dash me, thanks for subscribing, bub. Have some Bezos books. Thank you. Buy some fancy jam with it. Thanks. I will. Jam t-shirts when? That's my question. Jam t-shirts when? Anyway. I've got sidetracked here a little bit, and I'd like to cycle back to some of those points because I felt like I glossed over them too much. Okay, so we have empirical data. you have some empirical data which has been produced by people. Yeah, we assume that data hasn't been manipulated in any way to represent something or make something look a particular way, right? Then you have the analysis of it, and you have the people who analyze that, and that's for you guys to discern who you think like gives you good analysis of that data. The thing that also stands out in that situation is when you have opinions which are not supported by the data. So you have, for example, some situations where, like for me, when we discuss, what can we discuss? I'm trying to think of like current Age of Sigmar, what can I do as stand out? So someone the other day was like, someone tweeted at me, fuck knows who it was like, because Dan from AOS Shorts has put like a bunch of tournament results up, but the data sets are from like 22 man event, 23 man event. I'm like, personally, if you're asking me, I think the data's all over the place. And right now, for Age of Sigmar specifically, because the event numbers, in my opinion, are very low, and the number of people, therefore the number of Rets in games, is really low. I'm going off my feelings when I talk about stuff more than I'm going off that information as I see it, because that information, for me, isn't relevant enough. And it also, I don't understand some of the places where that data comes from, and I don't understand, like, it doesn't gel with my general feelings and my general, like, thoughts on where the game is at. So when those things don't correlate, I generally tend to be like, oh, I'm not looking at it. But someone was like, ah, look at Tzeentch, not dominating the game. It looks like 10-point differences in Age of Sigmar do actually affect the meta. And I was like, it's like so many fucking things wrong with that sentence. First off being the global fucking pandemic. I'm swearing a lot again today. So sorry. The global pandemic that is around right now, yeah, and the fact that, like, a whole bunch of people aren't playing. Like, a whole bunch of people aren't playing. I will refer that to a stat. Yes, people, the last 6 months of Warhammer is pretty much only worth a couple of weeks of normal worldwide play. I just don't rate those bits of information, is what I'm trying to say. So while there is data out there, and some of it can be useful, like current trends that I think are indicative of stuff, is that Caradhran Overlords are really, really strong. And Seraphon are really, really strong. Those two things, I think, are fairly obvious to everyone. But Caradhran Overlords are stronger than I think people are giving them credit for. They're very strong. Like, they're really up there. They're really, really, really good. And another current trend is that it seems that the Catacross Mortis Praetorian's version of OCR Bone Reapers might generally start outperforming what we used to have with Petrifex. Like, they're on that same wavelength. Yeah, it turns out that actually making an army, much like they did with Fire Slayers, making an army change how it plays actually took people out of their, like, this is how you play it, into a better version of the game and a better version of the list. They just didn't know how to do it. That's my opinion. But again, that is where opinions from someone like myself don't necessarily marry with information that you could see coming out of data sets. And that is a struggle, because being one of those analysts who thinks something is strong or weak, I'll give you another example. What, last year, or maybe even the year before, but I think it was last year, Seraphon had a really, really low win percentage. Me and Nathan did an entire show on the Monday. We were like, what's wrong with Seraphon? And, like, what are the players doing wrong with the book? And a lot of it was like, everyone was taking Shadow Strike Rippers. They're like, I'm going to take Rippers, I'm going to Shadow Strike them. But they weren't ever winning tournaments. They weren't even ever really going 4-1. They were just going 3-2. So it was like a redesign, like rethink how to play that. And we showed examples of everyone using Pterodons in Poland, again, being ahead of everyone. Maybe redo this, think it through in a different way. And you ended up with people like Dan Mitchell going 4-1 at, technically 5-0, but we won't talk about that. At Bloodshed in the Shire. And so it really takes some, like, analysis to start to understand that. I think I'm getting away from the point of just talking myself up now, which I'm a dickhead. I apologize. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying the analysis part sometimes is not agreeing with the data, which is odd because I'm also someone who's always pushed for lots and lots of data. Lots of data is always good. Not because it tells me the truth, it tells me the facts, but also it also lets me discern more information from that data. Which is something. And Seraphon also won at Adepticon. They did. But again, that's a little odd, that setup. See, Arepa brings up another really good point as well. So that tagline, Seraphon won Adepticon, seems like a good piece of information. Seraphon won Adepticon. Then when you start to actually break it down, because we don't have, especially in Age of Sigmar, you don't have parity between all the different events. Event results are based on all sorts of different data, and they're also based on different tournament packs. That's really interesting. You end up with taglines like Seraphon won Adepticon, and then you're like, okay, but can we look at the tournament pack at the time? Can we look at the setup? And actually, there's some really other important bits to discuss when you're talking about that army at that time in that event pack. Because that is something that some of these things don't talk about. For instance, all the event results that are currently up, for instance, for Age of Sigmar, you're like, that's a 22-person event, but I don't know if that's 18 absolute fucking, like, roll dice, have fun, beer lads, and two like hard nails lads, or if it's like 22 hard nails lads. Like the event, if you went to Bad Moon Cafe, for example, in London, where a bunch of very prominent UK gamers are, or like, yeah, you went there as an example, you might be into a tough matchup. Like, that might be like, even a one dayer, that'd be three rough games. Like, whereas if you went to like, I don't know, Warhammer World down the road, you'd probably just be kicking three kids. Like, it's the truth. So, again, some of that data, like, really needs interpreting, and it isn't the, like, flag-waving that you think it is, especially when you're talking to someone like me, because I'll just, like, out of hand reject your conversation, especially if you're coming at it unfairly, I think. In these current stats, will we see more of the newer books, and thus they will appear better than they are? Yes. I think the ways to play around Lumineth will easily be emerged by now. I do agree. Also, tabletop simulator tournaments, while having more players, cannot be fully trusted because players are not limited to their model collection. Yeah, but that's just a pay-to-play kind of conversation. Think how much jam you could buy if you had a swear jar. Oh, I don't know. Who can I quote on this one? I could quote Dave Chappelle. I've been watching. If you listen to podcasts, you might have realized I've been listening to a lot of Dave Chappelle recently. Because it's not that skinks are efficient, yeah? That isn't how it works. Like, that isn't how I describe it. I'm not from that sort of, like, corporate land where you must speak like that all the time. I would say skinks are fucking broke. That's what I'd say, yeah? They are absolute, like, dickheads, is how I would describe them. It's just a different energy that I bring when I describe... Oh, right. It's not climate change argument. The data from limited sets with sample sizes is still fine. Yes, Professor Moore agreed. Data only tells you the data itself. The rest is just assumptions that may or may not be true. Also true, Gunnaraldi. I have a load of data from Hammer Time 1, 2, 3, and Seraphon only came in the top 10 three times. What the data doesn't show is that all three came in the same tournament and people dropped them for the next one and took suboptimal builds. There we go. See, that's... Thank you, Owen. That's good. Gregarious Chant, thanks for subscribing. That's why you need Games Workshop meta-analysis to rate and rank every player, lol. right, anyway. Anyway, it's a great article. It's a great article that's leading to a great conversation. Great conversation. But really, what do we do from here? Because the thing that I don't want to do, because this is really important as well, and... Like, sticks a craw. Like, I've got, like, I don't know, like a bear with, like, a fucking thorn in his toe. Pisses me off that the community article did, like, a meta-analysis yesterday, in quotation marks. They haven't done one for Age of Sigmar yet that they're going to, when we had significant, on this show specifically, significant pushback, me and LLV, significant pushback from specifically Games Workshop, specifically the game developers, specifically his lackeys and cronies, yeah? In trying to dismiss the information. Even yesterday, in the meta-analysis, you had, at the end, a very loaded question posed by Mike, where he said, there's been a lot of talk about the first turn being a problem in 40k. Do you see this as an issue? And Nick, yeah, answers, no, it needs to be something you need to think about and prepare for, which is an obvious answer and correct. However, I assume everyone who's playing competitive 40k, my assumption, is aware of that problem, that someone can shoot you first, and therefore preparing an army so that if you go first, you're in a good position, but if you go second, you're still in a good position, is something that they're designing. Very much like if someone said in Age of Sigmar, like, is getting Alpha Striked on turn one a problem in Age of Sigmar? The response from any gamer should just be, no, you prepare an army that won't die to an Alpha Strike turn one. That's what you would write. Okay? Like, it's true. That doesn't negate the information that there is, seems to be a statistical trend towards the fact that going first gives you an advantage. A slight one, but still an advantage. Right? right? So it's just... So it pisses me off that they've decided to try and have, like, a disingenuous conversation about data or about the information that's going on, especially having been in a battle, it feels like, for years, personally, and through the show, when we've discussed data, like you know, I was like, Sinesh is at 75% win rate. It's broken. You should ban it from events. And everyone was like, fucking pissing fire. They were like, oh, no, oh, no. But where are we a year later? Where are we a year later? Maybe over-nerfed? Yes. But did they nerf it? Yes. Was the analysis of the situation correct? Yes. And did we end up with, like, them fucking being changed? Of course we did. Because it was dumb. Like, anyway. So Scott B says, analysis of the meta that seeks to avoid negative answers or saying some units aren't great is worthless and causing to question the points that they are willing to make. Scott B is correct. And I agree. And that's kind of an issue. Yeah, convenient for them to release a terrain rules set at the same time. Face the Bases. Oh, man. Thanks for joining Patreon. I think you just joined Patreon, Faces and Bases. Fuck yeah. All right. Fuck yeah. Thanks, bud. Anyway. So, data is always... I was going to say always true, but that's not correct. Data gives us some idea of what's going on, which is cool. Sometimes the data supports opinions, but that does not mean those opinions are right. And sometimes opinions are not supported by data, but that also doesn't mean that those opinions are right. However, that puts us in a position of like, like some of you, like we said at the start of the show, just want to chill. You just want to fucking chill, hang out, and you just want to know what's good. You want to know what's going on. You want to know what to buy. Like, Rob, dude, fuck. Like, are the ATVs good or do they suck? I kind of want them because they look like cool speeders, but if this is going to get, like, fucking toe-punted off the board, I don't want it. And I'm like, I hear you. I absolutely hear you. Like, and that's always been the point of this show. That's always where we're trying to be at. That's why, like, do you know what it feels like being the fucking Grinch who stole Christmas about Gargants? Like, do you know how that feels? Like, it's fucking, I'm upset. Like, I want them to be good. Nathan has been excited about Gargants for fucking ages. I couldn't love that man more. He's a fucking, such a nice human being who has been nothing but good to me. I got deep and unending love for him, and I want his army to be good because it's something that will fill him with joy. And then to read it and just go, oh fuck, this is shit, like, it makes me even more emotive about the situation than it does make me less emotive about the situation. And in that situation, you look at it and you think, yeah, protect Nathan, exactly. and so what you end up with is Nathan will still love playing with Gargants, but like that isn't anyway, the feeling of having to be the Grinch is the worst. Yeah, like if we go back and watch the Seraphon Battleterm review, I'm just giggling like a child. I'm just like, because I love Seraphon, fucking love him. I was like, Dave, check out Scarif. Like, and watching Nathan's reactions, a load of people love that show. Because you're just watching Nathan be triggered by absolutely everything. Because the roles are reversed. He doesn't like the army. Yeah. And so then being way too cheap, effectively. He was playing the role of analysis in that situation, but just emotively. He was just like, fuck, this is too cheap. This is dumb. Yeah. And I was just explaining it out to him. Like, and in that situation, it was fun. It was really fun. But when you have to do it the other way around, when you have to be the guy that does it, it's just the worst. It's the worst. And I didn't want it. Is this a jam logo that you've made, Scrivo? I don't want... Is this a... Scrivo, have you made... Oh, Scrivo, you're hilarious. I was saying, can you link it in the chat? Link it in the chat so Scriv's made a picture. We'll put it in the show notes as well. Nathan will still... that's me 100%. Can't wait to meet up with friends and just throw literal handfuls of Lumina dice across the table at each other. Good. This is like mini skirts. They give you a good idea, but hide the most important things. Nice. That's good. Halalex is correct. He did say that's bent for 2 hours straight. He absolutely did. The most important thing to remember about data is 1, context, 2, collection bias, 3, coloration is not causation. Ziggy, can you explain what coloration is? Because actually it's not something I know. Correlation. Okay, good. I was like, I don't know correlation. Okay, fine. All right, I'm happy with that. So yeah, I guess the question is where do you get that data? All right. Okay. So this brings me onto a conversation that I've had for a while. I think the right way. Now, this is the question I'm going to ask you in the Twitch chat. I'm going to ask you also as podcast listeners, and I'm also going to ask you as YouTube guys. I would like to know your answers. Yeah? How? The thing that we want to solve is this. We would like to be able to give our friend Jimmy, who is never going to be a very competitive gamer, but would like to play with some stuff that works. And by works, we mean is competent enough on the tabletop that he's not just going to get dicked on, even if someone brings a top-tier list. It's a very specific conversation, but I think it's actually the conversation that everyone wants to have. Someone, like, no one wants to paint a bunch of models and lose 5 games. Like, no one wants to do that with no hope of winning, right? So it's just, the question is, how do we give that advice to new people? How do we give that advice to people who aren't even new, who just are taking their time, who don't want to read all the books, they don't want to read meta comparative analysis or listen to 42 podcasts? How do we give that advice to those people? How do we explain to those people very simply, listen, I know you really, really want the auto turrets that just sit there but for some reason move 3 inches for the Marines, but really you just need to go buy some more Eradicators. How do we have that conversation with them? Yeah, without, like, destroying their fire, I guess is the real one. And I think I have my solution for it, but I would like to hear what yours are. What is the question? We need the Grinch to balance the hype, especially when the product is so expensive. Oh, fuck yeah, but no one wants to be the hype. The Grinch. I mean, I do want to be the Grinch. It's hilarious. correlation. Thank you, Proc Joe. I appreciate that. See, this is why I love talking to you guys. It's just smarter people than me in the chat. This is also one of the things that I think that we've done really well. Ah, thank you to the Synthax Gaming Channel. If I've got that right. Synthax Gaming Channel. Because we've only ever tried to have, like, really adult conversations, albeit dick jokes, jam sandwiches, and anything else in between, and putting things in our pants, I think that I'm super lucky that you are the community who comes and joins me every day on the Twitch show. We have, like, good, healthy, honest conversation based on reality and information, but with an aim to try and help everyone else. And so I guess the question is, if you want a good rule of school, has to trump rule of cool if you want a good gaming experience. Faces and Paces, did you steal that? Because that is like a fucking motto that I'm writing down. And I want to give credit if that, yeah, rule of school has to trump rule of cool. Yes, rule of cool is number 2. I'm going to do that as a fucking picture. Rule of cool is number 2. The rule of school is number 1. Faces and Paces. Yeah, baby. Oh, man. Well, Duckrell, welcome to the Grinch gang. Oh, Scrivo, can we get me as a Grinch for Christmas? That would be great. Now, made that up, powered by Monster. Can we agree that we like Rule of School? That's pretty good. Getting this tattooed on my Grundle, says Lou Diamonds. anyway, that's good. What's Freaks and Deeks saying? Honestly, I think it's just got to be how it is now. People are just going to either take advice through channels or avoid it and play what they want and experience themselves through actual experience. That doesn't work. If they do it through experience, then hopefully their opponent can explain it to also help them out. Rule of school, yes. Being ill-informed about your army is no excuse for being terrible. Agreed. Yeah, that's... Thank you, Scrivo. I agree with that. Okay, so... My version is that I think tournament coverage is the right way. Now, obviously, there's a huge bias on my part. Huge bias on my part. But, as I said at the start of the show, the thing that I love about the game is sometimes the meta-analysis of the game. Yeah? An example would be, we go back to Sheffield Slaughter, not this year, but last year. We were doing round 5. Beast of Chaos playing against Skaven. It was the old better part of Valor. We do what we always do in the 15 minutes we have between rounds, is we run around, make sure the equipment's working, drink, get a drink of water, sit down again, and Scrivo normally runs over with 2 army lists. It's like, here are the 2 army lists. And then I look at them, and I go, cool. And then in that situation, what happened was I went, what scenario? So like, better part of Valor. I was like, okay, great. And I got up, having read the list, I walked over to Dan, and I said, hey, Dan, how many drops are you? He went, oh, I'm 5, and Tom 7. I was like, oh, sweet. So I was like, you've won. He went, yeah, I've won. I was like, cool. So I went back down and I sat down and I explained to my co-host, which I think, I can't remember who it was at the time. And I just explained to them that Dan had already won the game. Like at that point, which is weird because like that, like you're like, I don't understand how he's won the game. Stats don't show that. Stats don't show that he's already won. Like it takes some analysis to explain how it works. So you flip on the TV, you start to analyze it and you start to explain it to everyone. And you just say, this is the situation because he's a lower drop. He's going to be able to move forward, burn all the objectives and then win the game before his opponent could do anything because he gets the choice as the game starts. And then everyone's like, cool. Now we know what's happened. That's pretty dumb. They should change that about the game. Like, absolutely. They did, which was great. And they changed that about the game. But, like, my point is that I think tournament coverage gives you all of the fringe cases all of the time. Like, it always gives you, like, the fucked stuff. Because when you get that, it almost always permeates up to the top table. It's always the interesting conversation at a tournament because you can grab it. Now, the bonuses are, is when you have someone like Owen doing infield reporting, as an example, or Adam doing infield reporting, you also get all the other stories which you would normally miss. So you're able to gather huge volumes of data which raw information doesn't give you when you do tournament coverage. So when you get all the tournament results from whatever tournament's happening at the weekend, you just present it as a spreadsheet. That isn't enough information. There's no context. And so you have a show beyond it, still not enough context, in my opinion. But covering the tournament gives you all of the it gives you the most context. I'll put that correctly. So you do the most context from doing tournament coverage, which is why I've been a huge proponent of it forever. Because when you do that, everyone learns. You can all tune in, you can sit in the chat, you can ask questions, you can like improve, you could say, why is this doing this? And most importantly, the analysts also learn. The environment trains the analysts. They ask themselves, what's the situation here and why is this going right? So I think tournament coverage is the right answer. But anyway, I'm very handsy today. I don't like that at all. Okay, being in the form about your army, I play Rule of Cool, that's why I lose 9 out of 10 games. But as long as you're happy, that's fine. This tournament guy wants more tournaments. Get him out of here. Agreed. Robin Nicholas should do a pocket money guide for newbies on what to buy. So, sorry, a pocket money guide. Ooh, I like that. Scrap Launcher, can indeed kill a Ghoul King on Terrorgeist. There you go, says Owen. It can. Now, not often, but it can. It can. Anyway, so that's what I think is the right way to help contextualize the data. Now, you could also do it through really excellent articles, like the Goonhammer articles. You could do it through excellent podcasts and shows, like through the 40K Stat Center, where they interview the actual people who've played those armies so that you can hear what's going on and you can hear what their opinions are. You know, even if their like, thing was like, just sat in the corner 5 turns, shut them off, you're like, sweet. Like, sweet. At least I know how it works. And I managed to talk more about data than I thought. I don't think there's much else to say. Apart from that analysis is hard. One of the things I'll quickly talk about with 40K at the moment, which I reinforced last night on the 40K show, is that I don't think I 100% trust 40K coverage as it not coverage, tournament results and information as it is right now, because I don't know that everyone's playing with a set standard amount of terrain. I don't think I even understand the terrain enough right now to analyze it myself. That's a key component of the game. Really, really important. So, regardless of the perceived strength of an army book, a good list and general will always have a chance to elevate the rules and do well, says Owen. And I agree with that, absolutely. I think that's also a really important factor, which sometimes the stats don't show, is that skill is something you can develop in wargaming. And I love that. The fact that you can develop skills and that you can have a very good strategy and then employ solid tactics are really important. But it does also require that you do your homework. It's one of the biggest bits of, it's one of the most boring aspects about the game that someone is gonna, like, sell to you. Like, you know, they're gonna be like, oh, play this game. And it's like, you're gonna have to spend hours reading your list, rereading your list, rewriting your list, understanding every bit of the rule, understanding how it all works before you even get to understanding your opponent's army. It's going to take hours. Now, you could do that through gaming That's a great way to learn that information and just practice and practice and practice. That's really good. At some point, you're going to have to analyze how you play as well. It's important for you to do. But people never talk about that enough. Dudo Shutgate says, I bet I could take a top tier list and drive it right to the bottom tables without even trying. Dudo Shutgate, I don't think you understand how some of the, how easy it is for some of those armies to play. But Timo Cash says, I don't like the netlist trend in wargaming these days. Locally, few people seem to make their own lists. Minds up on things. Again, Team and Cash, I think the concept of netlist is super unfair. I think the concept, especially if you look like something like the Marines book, as an example, I'm almost certain when we get new Stormcast, is a new person, let's say New Age of Sigmar 3 comes out, and let's say there's loads of Stormcast. I don't know if that's the case, let's just say. Yeah. Or in this example, Marines have just come out and there's loads of new Marines. You're new. You're like, yeah! And they're like, I'm going to get those fucking cool blue dudes. And you're like, sweet, what do you want? And they're like, what do I get? And they're like, they don't have any relevant knowledge or experience to build a list. They don't. And they're like, you know, and some, like, so the guy in the fucking shop will try and sell him a Baneblade, and you'll be like, that's not even a Space Marine model. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, but they need something. And I think the idea of a list that's the list that you buy, it's a good list, which is what I'm in the process of doing those for Age of Sigmar, so your cookie cutter lists for each army are really important, so that someone could just like, cool, like if you play Nurgle for instance for Age of Sigmar right now, I would direct you towards, do you want to own 50 of these boys or do you want to own 3 of these fat lads? And they'll be like, I don't know, I think I'll take the 3 fat lads. Like, that's a sweet idea, that's more interesting I think than the 50 dudes that all look the same. I think that's way better, go for the 50 fat lads, 3 fat lads, sorry. I'm all about that. So I think the concept of a netlist isn't fair, because there's some sort of like, I think it's not fair. Like pre-constructed decks for Magic the Gathering. Yeah, like pre-constructed decks for MTG. So you can just like buy it and you don't have to put the work in because it's your hobby. Someone else should do the work. That's why people will support the Honest Wargamer, because we've done the work. I think, you know, I hope that's why everyone supports the show. Maybe it's just the Gem Sandwich jokes, I'm not sure. Starter list, sorry again, says my dick stomping list got stomped by Rob's better generalship. I have a lot more to learn. Sorry again, I think we were both learning that day. I don't think that's an issue. Starter list does not equal top table tournament list. One should be about learning, the more focused on winning. Agreed with you, Team and Cash. You should be learning with your army as well, but if you learn with something bad, you don't know that you're learning with something bad. You just think you're rubbish, and that's important too. Vikings don't all look the same. Blasphemy, that's true. I remember seeing a Facebook post about the Super Series and one post by a random person remarked, I don't know why they would do these tournaments. It's all random dice. And I wonder how much of the player base makes up this mindset. Oh, most of us don't have enough games, I guess, to fully experience lists, says O'Reaper. So it says Scott B. So getting one proven work is a starting point is good. O'Reaper says if Games Workshop were really smart, they would link a click to buy off a War Scroll builder that adds to cart an army you create. I agree, says O'Reaper. Oh, they would do the best to just have those lists, 2 or 3 cookie cutter lists for each faction, and then just have them as a bundle that you can buy. That makes loads of sense. People would buy them. That's a good start off point, and then they could build other stuff if they want. And Team and Cash, I think people maybe don't explore, but the point is that with a netlist, there isn't one. There's always 8, ignoring eels. And even then, there's fucking tons of eels. Like, do you get 27 Morsar Guard? Or do you get 6 to 12 Ishilian Guard as well? Do you? Just randomly, yeah, because there's other versions of this, throw in a Celestine Prime. Like, there are different versions of all of the netlists, even in of themselves, that are exploratory, at least, I think is the right word. For me, it was important to have listened to you saying how Sinesh was crazy good when I got trashed in my first game. I had Stormcast. I'm glad. It should reinforce the point. Like, right now, if you're getting your dick kicked in by Seraphon, oh boy, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. I think with Warhammer being local, my biggest challenge was always staying sober long enough to actually learn anything. That's fair. Sodan and Battletome releases and the lack of tournaments make this a perfect time for research, analyze all the books, make better lists, and have better purchasing decisions. Yes, I agree. All right, well, that's me done for the day. I wasn't expecting. So I'll link in the show notes the article for you to read. And again, I would always love to hear your opinion on this subject. It's fascinating. And there's loads of great ways that there's loads of great ways that stats have been approached. If we look at JP, so this is JP Gannis, he has got metabreakers.com. Again, I'll include that in the show notes below. And what he's done is he's like done a whole, I actually don't even understand what he's done. I've had him on the show. You can go back and listen to it. And again, we'll have him on the show in the future where he's done like attributed like a percentage. He's got this thing called ListBot that kind of like analyzes the units and says, here's the percentage up or down on these. Like, and some of them I agree with, some of them I don't agree with. Like, and that's the other thing as well. That's an AI learning thing, but it doesn't mean it's infallible. And I'm certainly not infallible. Like, certainly not. I'm going to be wrong loads of times. But like, I would hope, having done this a lot, and I think I've got some credibility from, you guys maybe think I've got some credibility in doing this. I work really hard to be at least researched on if I'm right or wrong. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe I'm just wrong all the time. But I deliver it in a good way. Like, fuck, that guy doesn't know anything, but at least he says it with a smile. Anyway. Right. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Tomorrow we will be discussing. There's so much to discuss. Maybe all Gargants, maybe all new 40K. There's tons. Might do a bumper show tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Have a great weekend. Wherever you are in the world. Again, just, you know, pick and choose the information that you want, much like life. Yeah, and have a great weekend. Thanks to everyone who supported the show. Thanks to anyone who's like, thank you to for donating some cash to the show. Joining Patreon literally means the world to me. It means you also get fair. I'd be remiss to say that one of the things that I'm most proud of is that this show is completely community funded. The fact that we don't get any money, we don't get any sponsorship, and we don't get any early access to anything means that we only give you what we think. Now, it would be good if that what we think is also true, or is accurate, is probably a better way of putting it, is accurate, but that's what we do. And I couldn't do that without you guys subscribing on Twitch and you guys subscribing on Patreon. So, it's really thanks to you that I'm able to be an arsehole on the internet. So, you know, don't ever forget that. Never forget that. You sponsor the Grinch. Have a great day. Fuck you, buddies.